So according to the schedule, we have an hour before our next meeting, and I don't think there's anything else going on in this room. Yeah, our next panel.
Do we get questions? I want questions.
We've got time for questions, is what I'm saying.
Oh, good.
So no one else has this room?
I don't think they're gonna throw us out. This is our room. So there's time that we can open this up for discussion.
Yes.
Barry?
Okay, the use of the term terrapin. Are you planning to clearly define this?
I needed a word.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. I think it's a problematic usage.
Talk to me.
Well, it's a song in the Grateful Dead canon. There are a couple of other references to terrapin. It's kind of fuzzy. And I was just, my question was, is there some scholarly consensus that Grateful Dead culture will be called terrapin, or is this
zero consensus? I grabbed it because of the line where you're coming back to terrapin for good or ill again. Is that what it is? Because it is a place, some rise, some fall, and I put purposely some ambiguity in the title toward an epistemology of terrapin, because I certainly don't pretend to have the final structure.
Okay, I didn't know if there was.
If
some
you can think of a better word, lay it on me.
Proposition at this point. Yeah, I just thought maybe I wasn't aware if there was some kind of consensus about that or not. So.
Not that I'm aware of. No. But if anybody can think of a word that they think is more appropriate or descriptive, tell me, please.
But yeah, as you were going on in the lecture, and I started to understand what you were saying. Yeah. I thought it was a great idea. At first, I wasn't sure.
It harkens back to the Terrapin Station idea that the Grateful Dead had. Or the center that they were going to build in San Francisco.
Yes, where this thing could be created and recreated.
Yeah.
Yes, Jake?
I have a question for Ruth, actually, about the idea of adding the lead body as an instrument to a musical composition. And I wonder that there's obviously going to be some sort of a different kind of performative and interpretive aspect between the dancer who is adding themselves to music and possibly an observer who is not, who is seeing the dancer become the music. In other words, that, you know, if the Grateful Dead were to have had dancers on stage doing the type of thing that you're doing, if the same idea that you have in the audience would have translated onto the stage, because everyone else would just be observing that rather than engaging in it themselves, and whether the ultimate is kind of that everybody would be able to do this versus everybody kind of watching somebody else do that. I don't know if I'm making sense about that.
Well, I would just consider that it would be another instrument. Because everybody in the audience isn't also playing guitars, although there are plenty of really good musicians who are also in the audience. So I would imagine that there are other people who are also dancing in the audience, but they also have the advantage of seeing a really good dancer on stage who's able to accompany the music.
Question actually for all three. It seems like the thread that tied them all together was this notion of performance. And let me, I guess, start with Ruth and pick up on that question. You started the paper with a really interesting distinction between lead body dancing, sort of dancing as performance, as opposed to shaking your bones. And so I guess the notion of performance there, I think I'd love to hear more about. For Kent, teaching, again, is a doing, is a performing. And I'd love to hear just a little bit more about the way in which the act of teaching could be informed by what you picked up from the Dead Sea. And in Kay, it also, Judaism in a certain sense exists as performative interpretation, right? In a certain sense, it's a doing. I mean, when you take the very...
Yes, but the stage in a Grateful Dead show is not an altar. It's a stage in the sense of a staging area for all of these things that are coming through it.
Sure, and then you then get this notion of meaning pluralism
yeah.
in the interpretive act.
Yeah.
So that we're really,
not quite so interested in the Torah as much as we are in what the different rabbis said about it.
Right,
and
because
the multiple interpretations.
Right, because we have to re-accept it in every generation and make it mean something to us, so that we don't stay in the Bronze Age. You know, during the age of globalism. Yeah.
So that's all I. That's, yeah. Those are my questions.
So you wanted to say that again?
You start with the distinction between dancing the lead body as opposed to shaking your bone.
Yeah.
Could you just say a little bit more about what that difference
is?
Well,
let's see. Dance is my life. And when other people speak about dancing for themselves, it's really hard for me to relate, because I can't, when I've been asked to dance with people at a concert, it's really hard for me to do that, because they'll kind of like that. And I don't dance like that. It's just because I can't. It isn't who I am. I've had 30 years of ballet training and modern dance training and jazz dance training, and it's just in my, it comes through me. And so who I am as a dancer is a whole lot different than the way other people who are in the audience who have some other occupation besides dancing as the focus of their life, say as a computer person or as an artistic musical person, or as a business person, or something. So I think it has to do with what comes through me, the quality of the movement, and how I connect with the music.
Something that occurred to me when you were describing that, Ruth, was it was almost as if you were dancing around, no pun intended, the distinction between what you do is being interpretive and therefore in some way less reactive or almost passively reactive, which is, I thought, what you were kind of getting at as the distinction between, you know, how you approach, you know, the interpretation of music through dance and,
yeah,
and the folks around.
Yeah, well, it's improvisational, and it is like another instrument in the band. And a lot of the interviews that I've read with Jerry and with Bob that where they talk about their music and they talk about how they develop their music is a lot of the way that I've developed some of my dance techniques.
Did you ever see other deadheads in the audience that struck you as being, if untrained, operating on a similar wavelength to yours?
A few.
Good.
A few.
Good.
Not too many, but a few.
Christian?
Yeah, I'm sort of still interested in that same topic area. Particularly, I think the question of performance, I think more than once I discussed with other people in the audience the, call it the fancy, that their dancing was in fact fueling or powering the band. You know, there was a sort of a reverse of the traditional, all the energy's coming from the stage and now I'm going to dance as the wave of sound hits me, and at least some kind of belief that they were putting energy, that their dancing was actually contributing into some shared experience. And I would guess that, I think my subjective sense is that you're occupying one extreme end of a spectrum that is, you know, that dance is central to you and that your training and your identity and your profession are all about that. And that inherently, the vast majority of the other people dancing at the show, from your vantage point, are doing it in an entirely different way. Whereas, from my perspective, being somewhere along that curve out to infinity or whatever, I saw sort of a range. And it also, for a lot of times, depended to me on the context. So every now and then there were places where there actually was room to dance. You know, it wasn't just the sort of there's no room shuffle or whatever. And I think that, well, here's the thing, because I don't want to just ramble on free associating. Something about the idea of performance struck me, because in my own I can only really attest to my own personal experience. There's always a really fine line between feeling like dance is a performance for me and feeling like it is for myself. And you sort of talked about that distinction. And in the sense that there's a stage of going from feeling like a wallflower to feeling like a person who is completely inhabiting my body, both the left side and the right side, and front and back, and top and bottom, and the whole thing. And that in that progression, there is self-consciousness, and then the letting go of self-consciousness, at which point there's like a liberation. But then occasionally there's a sense of like, damn, what I'm doing must look cool, you know, or be interesting, or something like that. And then that can be self, it can be duality and self-consciousness again, or it can at some point just be a sense of connection to everybody else. So, but that's from almost no training at all, besides a little bit of dancing school and a little bit of this and that. Mostly a self-discovery coming out of the music and probably observing other people and just feeling my way through. So it's just hard to, it's hard to know how radically different that may be from your experience, because of dance with the capital letters being such a fundamental concept to you, whereas it's more of a thing, something that I feel very strongly about, but almost like as an outsider entering into it.
Well, it's not very different at all. I mean, how I ever got started at the Dead Show was that I would just close my eyes and dance and move, and it was before it was ever just so crowded like that, and I would just go off on the side, and I'd need to be inside the music, inside the color, and by the band, and so I'd go up front and just close my eyes and move and control the band, and afterwards people would come and tell me they watched me all night. That's how it started, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll take some classes.
Christian, I wonder if part of what you're describing, which is kind of a practice makes better scenario, could be applied to all of the interpretive experiences people go through. For example, if you're used to going to shows to achieve levels of personal insight, the more practice you have at doing that, the more insight you're going to achieve.
Yeah, I got a question for Ken. When you're dealing with your students, what is their sense of place in the, say, the Dead tradition? And you get these people together with their instruments, you get these people moving and dancing. I mean, all of that could be a terribly immediate experience, you know, just something that sort of happens right then and there. Or, you know, if they listen to their parents' Grateful Dead records, they could see themselves as being part of the tradition that goes on for several generations. I mean, do you find a pattern in that, or is it just totally individual how they tend to see themselves within the Dead legacy?
Well, I mean, for starters, I teach 4-year-old autistic children, so at the moment, and well, in terms of my own teaching, getting back to your question, was how I learn from my experiences in the Dead and bring that to the classroom. I mean, I think I try to make everything a little bit colorful, a little bit musical. I bring in dance. You know, I try to bring in... okay, there's like 3 different things I'm trying to think of all at the same time. People are hungry and running out of time. So the class that I took at Lesley, I was interested in what the professors were doing with us as college students. They're teaching us as college students, but what they're teaching we're also going to be filtering and distilling into teaching young children. So there's the part of my life where it's teaching young children, and I can get into how I incorporate the Grateful Dead into that world. But in terms of what this class was doing, I thought it was interesting in how to access those aha moments without Grateful Dead, but then also how to bring those aha moments into Grateful Dead teaching for those of you who are teaching at college level or high school level, that you might think in terms of multiple modalities and how to access each student's creativity, their intelligences, And maybe in terms of teaching the class, if you find you have people with skills in visual and artistic creativity, like sewing and tie-dyeing and beading and stuff, that some of that can be brought into the classroom hands-on, or set lister kind of people or whatever, or dance. Having a class where, yeah, you want to lecture and you want to get into the hardcore stuff about reading and research and all, but then take that moment to kind of get your class loosened up a little bit, like throw on a tape, have everyone dance around the room. I found that when the teachers make us do this at Lesley, we always start a class with a tableau, with a dance, with maybe a reading of poetry or something, that it kind of loosens up our spirits, and then we're ready to be open to that piece of wisdom that you have to impart, that little morsel you have to get in there. So just thinking of, the Grateful Dead certainly didn't teach by lecture style, and there's a lot to be said for lecture style, and I don't know how many classes have been taught in Grateful Dead. I imagine we're going to be doing more of that in the future, but that without getting on the bus, and even you can approach it from sending kids out to shows and all that, but also there's ways to just get to those aha moments without even knowing about Grateful Dead or drugs or anything, and that there's probably a way to combine both of those things to make it more rich and meaningful, and just being aware that not everybody learns by listening to lectures. Some people learn better by creating something with their hands, but that'll also teach them about Grateful Dead, you know, journaling, collages, all this kind of stuff, can be painting, can be brought into learning about Grateful Dead during the course of the context of teaching. And I'm only just starting to throw these ideas together. I've never taught a class in Grateful Dead. I don't generally teach grown-ups. I teach teenagers in after-school programs and things like that. But it was only these sort of flashes and seeds and ideas. And I haven't talked to Rob Weir. I'd love to know more about what he did at UMass, because I feel like it's a hole in my understanding of what's been done. I only know so far about what Kay has done and what Rebecca did on the bus. But I'm imagining that into the future we're going to be having more classes. And
Kent, I'm surprised that the spiritual learning style wasn't tied with the action of unifying in the first screen that you put up.
Uh-huh.
And everything else had a, you know, if this is your learning style, then this is what you're going to do. But if you're don't you think that
I could have elaborated on that more. I was so conscious of trying to get everything out in terms of time, but. To me, it was so obvious because we spent so, how many papers have been written, and how much time do we sit and think and talk about the spiritual aspects of Grateful Dead? So, I mean, but not everyone is a spiritual person. You can be an atheist and still love the Grateful Dead. You don't have to be a spiritual person. So,
Absolutely. It's
clearly a connecting point. If Gardner wonders if it should be on or off the list, I think if we're using his model to talk about this community, it's very well on the list. That's why I put a star. There's no imagining looking at Grateful Dead and considering, is that part? Is that not part of the intelligence? Clearly, it's a huge part of our intelligence as deadheads.
Yeah.
Good. Does everyone want a break?
You
know where to find me. You know where I live.
More questions.
All right, we'll be around all week. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
This is a visual because, like, I made this outfit, and I don't think I ever would have learned to make hippie spinner trippy clothes had I not been on tour. I mean, I really didn't grow up learning how to sew, so or read, and these are just things that I learned while sitting around tripping on tour. You know, I needed to do something with my hands, but it's carried through into my current life, and I feel like I've been enriched by those experiences.
All right, we'll reconvene at noon.
No, what?
12:30, my bad.
Be here half an hour early.